Tell me who hath believed our report, and to whom is it revealed, the mighty arm of the Lord.
Hello, I'm Kathy Davidson, and I'd like you to join me and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church here in Plano, Texas, as we minister the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which is the power of God. I'd like to begin with prayer. Father, I thank you. Let the power of my Lord be great. Father, let the power of my Lord be great. Let the power of my Lord be great and grant us repentance. Father, grant us repentance. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like us to start in John chapter 10. I just want to read a verse to you. This verse has a remarkable statement in it. It really does. I remember the day I was reading and I saw this and my whole life changed. It said, verse 34, this is Jesus. He's frankly arguing with the Pharisees, or they're arguing with him. And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods?" If he called them gods, and look at this, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be. So as we would say in Ohio where I grew up, you can bet the farm on it. All right, now that we know that, the scripture cannot be broken. I want us to go to Isaiah 53. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let's take a look at that a little closer. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed it? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has the arm of the Lord revealed? Who is the arm of the Lord? Well, thank God for the Bible. Do you know that every answer that you ask a question to, God will give it to you if you ask him? Turn with me to Acts 8, and I will show you who is the arm of the Lord. I'm going to begin in verse 26 of Acts 8. This is Philip. He was preaching at Samaria, and then God sent him somewhere else. It said, "And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship." This was no little man. "And he was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." I want you to real quick go back to Isaiah 53. Keep your finger in Acts 8. Amen. And I'm going to go to verse 7 of Isaiah 53. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." That is where Philip was speaking from. He was speaking from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Now look at what Philip does with Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. I'm going back to verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So who is the arm of the Lord? Who is Isaiah 53 talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Now let's go back. Verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Let's take a look at that word believe for a moment. If you look that word up in Strong's, it means to stand firm. It means to trust in. It means to be certain of. It means to believe in. I'm going to repeat that. It means to stand firm. It means to trust in. It means to be certain of. It means to believe in. If you look the same word up in the Young's Concordance, it means to remain steadfast in. All right? I just gave you the definition, just like an English grammar teacher, of the word believe. Do you realize that in the word believe, there is no word that says, look at your feelings? Feelings is not part of the definition of the word believe. Also, in that word, there is no such thing as looking at your circumstances. That is not part of the definition of the word believe. Looking at your circumstancing, looking at what you see and what you hear has nothing to do with the word believe. Believe means to stand steadfast in, to trust in, to be certain of what? Of what? What do we have to trust in? What do we have to be certain of? What do we have to stand steadfast in? Let's go back to verse 1. Who hath believed our report? You stand fast in our report. You will find in your life that in every circumstance you are in, you have a choice between at least two reports. You have a choice of trusting in this report, or you have a choice of trusting in another report. Now let's take a look at what's in this report. Now remember what we started with, John 10, 34. The word of God cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. It'll never change. It will never change. Even after this world is over, that word of God will still be there and it'll never change. Now, verse 2. This is talking about Jesus. We found that out in Acts 8. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Now, we are going to see a description of Jesus on the cross. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Hath no form. If you go back to Isaiah 52, he was marred more than any man. Every bone out of joint. So bad. Every bone that's out of joint. He doesn't even have the form of a man. You couldn't tell he was a man. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, that word is pain, and acquainted with grief, the word is sickness. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Why did he look this way on the cross? The answer is in the next two verses. Surely, surely, this is the scripture that cannot be broken. Surely. Surely he hath borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our pains, our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The word is perversities. The chastisement, the correction, the punishment for our peace was upon him. You know what that word peace means? That word peace actually means welfare. It means prosperity. It means to be happy. That's what that word peace means. And the chastisement, the correction to get that peace, it says in this report, was put on Jesus. Put on Jesus. So Jesus bore everything he needed to bear to get us welfare, to get us prosperity, to get us where we can be happy. You see that? Okay, let's go on. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. This is this report. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. There is his death. There is the death of Jesus. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Why did he die? It says right here. He was stricken because of the transgression of us, our sins on that body, our sins on Jesus in his soul. Like I ministered last week, Jesus became our sin. Next verse, verse 9. And he made his grave his death. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, on neither was any deceit in his mouth. But why did that man die? Why did he carry our sins? Why our iniquities? Why all our sickness? Why all our pain on that one body? Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord. It made God happy to make him sick, to put him to grief. Well, now shall make his soul an offering for sin. God made the soul of Jesus an offering. Remember last week we spoke, he that knew no sin became sin. That he should see his seed, that he should prolong his days, that's the resurrection. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The God of heaven, your heavenly Father, my heavenly Father, the God that with Jesus created this world, saw the sacrifice of Jesus, saw his travail, and he was satisfied. Satisfied with that sacrifice of Jesus. That is this report. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Who has remained steadfast in our report that the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice? The Father was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant Jesus justify many? That means just like you had never sinned. Amen. That is that sacrifice. Do you see how exact, how perfect that sacrifice was? It made you as if you had never sinned. Justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. And he made intercession for the transgressors. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed, trusted in, steadfast in our report? What does that mean? I'll give you some examples. Who hath believed our report? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. There was a day when I was in a sign business. This was a late Friday afternoon. I had to pay some bills on Monday. I had no choice. They had to be paid. Had to be paid. But this is Friday afternoon, and I cannot remember exactly if the business day had already closed or it was right before, but I remember it was late Friday afternoon. And you know what? The business isn't open on Saturday and Sunday. So there was no chance of me getting any business on Saturday and Sunday. What do I do? My financial report at that moment, my financial report said no chance of business and the bank account, zero. That was my financial report. No chance of business and zero money. Now, which report am I going to believe? Which report am I going to trust in? Which report am I going to stand on? We have a choice. And in fact, the first sentence here, who hath believed our report? Which one are you going to believe? I chose to believe this one. In Isaiah 53, even though it didn't look like there was any hope. But see, that's what the word believe means. It means to stand steadfast, not what you feel and not what you see. So I chose to believe this report, that Jesus, the chastisement of my peace, my prosperity, rested on Jesus. Now, what happens when I do that? Turn to Romans 3 with me real quick. Chapter 3, verse 4. This is Paul speaking. He said, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Who hath believed our report? Amen. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Who hath believed our report? Now, what happens when you stand steadfast in that report? Go down to verse 7. For the truth of God, it can never be broken. Who hath believed our report? What was the report? The chastisement of my prosperity lay on Jesus. That the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie. As I put my trust, my steadfastness, my believing in that report and didn't look at my financial report because my financial report was poor, real poor. The truth of God abounded through my lie. And you know what happened? I got a phone call from the largest sign company in Dallas. I'm a little sign company in Frisco. The largest sign company in Dallas. After hours. Is this Kathy? Yes, this is Kathy. And he gave his name. He was the president of the company. He said, Kathy, I need some help. He said, I have a huge franchise restaurant, grand opening on Monday. And he said, at the last minute, he said, today, the CEO decided to make a change in their signage. And then he made a comment about CEOs and their last minute changes. And he said that they had six fiberglass figures. They were great big doughboys, actually. That's what they looked like. He said they were all one color, solid color. He said he decided he wanted color on them. He said, Kathy, I've got a whole warehouse full of people and painters, and not one of these guys can do this. He said, I called a man named Fry out in West Texas. I'd heard of him. He was an airbrusher, very good one, high reputation. He said, I called him. He can't do it. He said, he gave me your name. He said, is there any chance you can help me? Amen. This is a Friday evening. He needs a Monday morning, and I need some money Monday morning. The truth of God abounded through my lie. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Do you know what I was able to tell him? I said, I'm going to have to charge you extra for a rush job. He said, I don't care. Anything you want, ma'am. If you can help me, he said, anything you want. I said, all right, here's the deal. I said, you put him on a truck. You bring him to me. I'm not coming down there. I said, you bring him to me. And when you bring him to me, I said, you're going to bring me a check for the full amount, ready to cash. He said, they're on the truck as we speak. They brought him out to me that night. I said, I promise you, you will have them Sunday evening. He said, that's all I can ask for. He brought him. I did the job. I had my money on Monday. Why did I have my money on Monday? Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Have you ever felt guilty? Have you ever had to deal with guilt? If you have never, let me see a hand. If you ever felt guilty, well, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? What is Jesus' report? He paid for that sin. He died for that sin. He satisfied the Father concerning you for that sin. That's the report you put your trust in. That's the report you stand in, even when you feel guilty. Don't look at the feeling guilty. Who hath believed our report? And do you know what happens when you put your trust in, your faith in, your steadfastness in that report? The truth of God will abound through your lie, and that guilt will go away. That guilt will go away. One more example. October, just before I went on shortwave, I got a physical attack, a nice one. The first thing that happened was my mouth filled up with sores everywhere. I had sores all through my mouth. The next thing that happened was my upper and lower jaw got sore, real sore, sore, in pain. And then the bottom swelled up, looked like I was sucking on a golf ball. I mean, I looked in the mirror, it was like, good Lord, I mean, that big. And it hurt. It hurt a lot. One Thursday evening, I had a headache. I had this pain in my mouth, and it hurt. I was nauseous. I was at the end. Now, I had two reports that I could believe. I had a medical report, and I knew what the medical report would read. I knew it. But I also had this report. Who hath believed our report? Amen. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Jesus' report. I chose to put my trust in. I chose to put my faith in, my believing in Jesus' report. That when he was on the cross, that he bore my pain and he bore my sickness. And I looked at that report and I refused to look at the other report. I just didn't look at it. Oh, it was there. It was all over there. Look in the mirror. It's right there. But I chose to look at the report of Jesus. Who has believed our report? I went down at 2:00 in the morning because I couldn't sleep. I was in too much pain. I started calling on the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. You know why? Because in that name is Isaiah 53. In that name is Jesus dying on the cross for me and bearing my sickness and my disease. In that name, Jesus bore my transgressions, my perversity. If I sinned and that's what caused this, guess what? It was taken care of on the cross. It was taken care of in Isaiah 53. I didn't have to worry if sin caused it because Jesus paid for the sin. I didn't have to worry about my prosperity if it was something that I did because Jesus paid for that. Who hath believed our report? Our report. I did this in the downstairs bathroom for about an hour. And then I realized, standing there, or actually I was sitting on the floor next to the facilities, I realized I wasn't in pain anymore. I realized I didn't have a headache anymore. I realized I didn't have a stomach ache anymore. And I felt, and it was almost all gone. Why? Because I chose to stand fast in this report, in the report of Jesus. Who hath believed in this report? Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? And I was healed. That's how we believe the gospel. We choose to believe this report, and not the other report. Not the report that says you're all but a sinner. Not the report that says you are sick and dying. Not the report that you are poor. You don't believe that report. You don't look at that report. You don't trust in that report. You believe this report. You trust in this report. Who hath believed our report? You stand steadfast in this report. And the truth of God will abound through your life. This report will manifest.
Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me when I should be lonely or I should.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the musicians from Water of Life Church. She'd love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at Kathy, K-A-T-H-I-E, at KathyDavidsonWOL.com. That's W-O-L for Water of Life. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, P.O. Box 861327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kathydavidsonwol.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.